We have a new gizmo so I can move around. So Hugh has his own mic and I have my own. So here we are, another Sunday in this Easter season. Missing you all, but as Hugh did last week, I'm trying to imagine all of you here sitting in the pews, sort of in the normal place that you used to sit. So you're here with us, and we want you to feel that we are with all of you. Today, as I was meditating on the gospel for this Sunday, I was meditating throughout this week, and I was just stuck on one phrase, the phrase beginning in the gospel of today. It said, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear. The disciples were huddled in a room with windows and doors barred, fearful of something. They were locked in. And somehow, imagine as you, as same as me, I think we can identify with this story. We're locked in for fear. John says the fear was because of the Judeans. Others, Luke, for example, said they were fearful of Jesus. They thought he was a ghost. Isn't it true that sometimes fear can be a little bit uncertain? Why? What is it that causes me fear? It can be this or that. For the disciples, the apostles, the evangelists, they also have certain doubts. Why? What was the fear of these disciples of Christ? So they're huddled in. They're fearful, they're locked in their homes, like many of us have been locked up for a couple weeks. And as I continued meditating on this gospel, I could feel this fear welling up in my heart. We're through a terrible pandemic. We are locked up because of fear. Fear of our harm to ourselves and fear to cause harm to others. This fear and this pandemic has touched, I believe, every single human being in this planet. Over 2.3 million cases of COVID-19 have been detected throughout the world. It has killed now over 158,000 people, and 38,000 of those here in the United States, 603 in Washington State. All of that produces, I imagine, a lot of emotions in all of us. Anxiety, fear, wonder. Fear probably is the most salient of the emotions that some of us are experiencing. And fear is an uncomfortable feeling. We can recognize it in ourselves, and fear can serve us. I mentioned that we're locked up for fear, and I want us to understand that fear can be good. There is good fear and there is unhelpful fear. Fear that leads us to protect ourselves. Fear that is wise and that is prudent. That fear is worthwhile to pursue. Fear that helps us be aware of our surroundings and protect ourselves and not to harm others and not to harm ourselves, our loved ones. Being completely free of any fear probably would be foolish. However, we have to acknowledge there are other fears. Fears that make us irrational. Fears that take over our lives, grip our hearts. Fears that overwhelm us and couldn't be harmful and damaging. We see it in the news, people hoarding out of fear. People spreading conspiracy theories, unfounded rumors, compulsively ingesting news and social media postings, striking out in anger against others, isolating, maybe like Thomas did, isolating himself from the community, succumbing to anxiety or depression, engaging in catastrophic thinking that leads us into panic. I suspect that some or even many of us have experienced some of those feelings, some degree of these fearful and harmful fears that grip our heart in these last several weeks. For those of us gripped by this unhelpful or damaging fear, I would like to invite you this morning to turn to this gospel story, to turn to our faith for wisdom and for hope. Jesus had told his disciples at the Last Supper He had promised them the Holy Spirit, and he said these words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." That message of "do not fear" is a sort of a mantra in the Gospels. At the beginning of Jesus' story, around his birth, we have God's angels telling Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, to Mary at the Annunciation, to the shepherds witnessing Jesus' birth, to Joseph in a dream, all of them telling them, "Do not fear." This "do not fear" is very much present at the end of the gospel stories, when an angel comes also to the women who have come to the tomb, and they tell them, "Do not be afraid." And in the middle of the Gospels, we see Jesus himself saying to his disciples at the Transfiguration and at sea in the middle of a raging storm, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Why? Why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet?" Notice here the importance that Jesus makes between not having fear, facing our fears, and faith. And I want to clarify the word faith. Many times it's associated with believing things, concepts, idea, doctrines, and dogma. And there is certainly a part of our faith which is in beliefs. But originally the word faith had something more related to trust. It was more than believing concepts and ideas. Faith, belief, meant trusting. And trusting someone, entering into a relationship with another person, another human being, and certainly entering into relationship with God. Scholars and spiritual leaders have always emphasized this dimension of faith. Faith as trust. Faith as putting your life, your heart, your mind, your body in the hands of God. Believe in someone. We discern this in the etymology of the word belief in English. The word originally meant to hold dear, to trust in. It is a word very closely related to love. In the translation we usually read in church, Jesus said to Thomas, "Do not doubt, but believe." But maybe a better translation, and that's the one that King James Version uses, translates it this way: cease to be faithless, but be faithful instead. So what I see Jesus doing at the fearful disciples, at Thomas, who had removed himself from the community, isolated himself, he was not there the day of the resurrection. And I want to believe the reason he did that was his heart was full of fear and doubt and uncertainty. And he said, "It's not worth to get together with the rest of the disciples, his friends." So what I imagine Jesus when he tells him, "Thomas, be not faithless, but be faithful." What Jesus was trying to tell him, "I know you don't know who to trust, Thomas. I know that fear has gripped your heart and you have become not trusting. But here, I am. Look at me. Put your hand in the wounds of my hands. Put your finger in the wound in my chest. Trust. Reach out. Trust. And that trust will banish your fear." Notice this. Jesus asked Thomas to touch, to enter into his side, to access the source of his fears, this feeling of abandonment that had happened with the crucifixion, his disappointment, all of his hopes and dreams have been dashed. And Jesus invites Thomas and invites the disciples and invites us to enter there, to go there, to touch and to see, to put his fingers in the wound. In a sense, Thomas, the disciples, and us are invited to confront and to face the fears that have us locked in. Thomas enters into a relationship with this risen Jesus, and his trusting sees more than the physical realm, what is in front of him, and he proclaims, "My Lord and my God." Thomas sees that the one in front of him is not only his buddy, his friend, that he walked the roads of Jerusalem, the roads of Judea, but the one in front of him, not only his teacher and friend, but his God. And not only any God, but my Lord and my God. Thomas enters into a very personal relationship with God in Jesus. He believes, Thomas trusts, in the sense that he beloves. I like that translation instead of believe. Beloves. He entrusts, he holds dear the beloved in front of him. And indeed, he discovers in Jesus, my Lord and my God. This beloving, this trust or faith brings peace to fearful hearts. No wonder that when Jesus first appeared to the disciples, the first word that comes to his mouth is, "Peace be with you." Jesus knew that to touch the fear of these disciples, peace was the antidote. Peace was the assurance Jesus had promised to them when he said, "I will send you the Holy Spirit, and in the Spirit, my ongoing and living presence will be made real and true." Jesus fulfills that promise of the Spirit by breathing on them. Do you notice that? Jesus, when he approaches them, he breathes. He blows on them. And that reminds us of what happened in Genesis. What Jesus is doing is recreating what God did at the beginning. When God takes the clay, the dust, the earth, and breathes on it. And that earth becomes alive. What Jesus is doing is, I am recreating a new creation in all of you. And notice that Thomas, who is not there that first Sunday, appears 8 days later. And 8 days in Christianity has always been a symbol of the new creation. If the old creation was done in 7 days, the 8th day is the promise of something new that emerges. So Jesus, approaching the fearful disciples, communicating to them peace, what he was saying, Allow me to enter into relationship with you. Come, put your hand in my wounds. Touch those places you are fearful, and I will give you the peace you so are seeking. You that are listening to this sermon today, I tell you, and I tell myself, yes, acknowledge my fears, our fears. Let us acknowledge that we are locked down. We have locked sometimes our hearts. Let us open our ears and eyes and discover the risen one before us. No walls or doors will block him. Listen to the invitation. See the wounds, the source of our fears. Come, approach, touch, and place your finger within the side of Jesus, very close to Jesus' heart. And there we will find peace. We will find peace that brings us consolation in our fears. And Jesus will breathe upon us the breath of Spirit, proclaiming that we are born again and creation is created anew. Jesus' words will become a reality in us. "It is I. Do not fear." Whereas we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear." Today, as we celebrate communion, and as I and all of you at home will not be able to take the physical communion, I want to invite you, as Hugh takes communion today, on behalf of all of us, and as we make our own spiritual communion, that we present Jesus our fears, our troubled hearts, our locked-in hearts and minds. And as we present them, ask Jesus, come to me. Appear before me. Allow me to see the wounds, to place my hands, my finger in your side, and breathe upon me your Holy Spirit of peace. Amen.
Amen.